Welcome once again to Word on the Hills with me, Gwyn Sheltimer, my co-host Felicity Sidden-Reed, and our guest this week, novelist James Ronson. Each week at this time, we visit with authors, editors, or publishers who have regional or local connections. We ask them a little bit about their lives and what prompts them to write. And we're very pleased to have James Ronson join us today. Welcome, James.
Thank you.
James Ronson is a lifelong traveler and educator. At the age of 15, he hitchhiked across Canada and learned more about Canada in one summer than he had ever learned in school. He has explored the nooks and crannies of every province across the country. He has taught in downtown Toronto, Burns Lake, British Columbia, and most recently in Whitby. James began writing in his teens by publishing a war gaming zine called Berserker. He later wrote for the Varsity newspaper at the University of Western Ontario. His first novel was a work of crime fiction called Power and Possessions. At the center of the story is a romantic triangle turned deadly. Power and Possessions was published in the spring of 2015 by Hidden Brook Press. Through his connection with the Society for International Hockey Research, James became interested in JGA Crichton and early hockey history. That interest was the catalyst for his most recent book, Blood, Fire and Ice, published in 2019. So, Jim, your latest novel has an intriguing title. What is its significance? Tell us how you chose it.
Well, there were three elements. First of all, blood. And it has two meanings in the book. In the first case, the physical blood is what is spilled by Alex when he is attacked by his nemesis, Harry. So it has a physical element, but it also has a metaphorical element in the sense that his blood is Métis. So he has indigenous blood as well as French blood inside him, and that becomes an important part of the novel as well. Now, as to the fire, I don't want to reveal too much about the plot, but suffice it to say that a fire takes place in the middle of the novel and is important. And of course, ice naturally is part of the hockey experience and plays an important part in the central hockey game in the novel.
Now, last time you were here, we were, talking about thrillers and things, and here we are talking about hockey. In fact, the history of hockey. When did you first become interested in the history of hockey?
I think I've always had a passion for the history of hockey, but it came to the fore really when I visited the very first meeting that I went to for the Society for International Hockey Research. That took place in the old Maple Leaf Gardens in Toronto about 4 or 5 years ago, and I was lucky to be able to hear Red Kelly and Ron Ellis speak at the meeting. So it was exciting to meet those famous hockey players. From that, I discovered that essentially JGA Crichton, who is one of the central characters in the book, is in fact the poster boy of the Society for International Hockey Research. He's a very important figure in that. And from there, I took it to be part of half of the novel. Half of it is fictionalized, but there really was a real-life JGA Crichton who organized the first recorded game of hockey indoors in the history of the world.
So tell us a little bit more about JGA Crichton. How did your research into his life contribute to your novel?
Well, I had to research his life based on scant findings. So I was able to determine that he grew up in Halifax, where he went to school. He went to Dalhousie, studied to become an engineer. Then he went to New Brunswick, worked on the railroad, eventually ended up in Montreal, where he attended McGill University and got his education as a lawyer. And it was while he was at McGill University, still an engineer, that he organized this hockey game. So I had to research that. I had to look at the historical census to determine where and when he was living at the time. And I determined that, in fact, he had moved to Ottawa and became a speaker, or rather a clerk of the Senate in Ottawa.
Interesting. So does he become the principal character in your book, or do you have a fictional character who's the principal character?
I would say that the two characters are the principal characters, mainly J.J. Crichton, who is the the lawyer, the hockey player, mm-hmm. and a fellow hockey player that he grew up playing hockey on the ice in Nova Scotia, by the name of Alex Gould. Alex Gould, as I mentioned, is a Métis character, and it was not uncommon in the early days of hockey in the 1870s to the 1850s, really, to the 1890s, for people to gather outdoors for pickup hockey games, and they often would involve such people as the Europeans, the British soldiers, native Nova Scotians, as well as the Mi'kmaq people.
So in your book, are we reading a hockey history or are we reading a fictional story?
You're reading a story. I tell a story, although I use his historical background and fact. Essentially, it's a story about the growth of these two characters from early boyhood into adulthood and their history together in terms of their friendship and their contribution to hockey.
How about giving us a taste of the book? Can you read for us?
Yes, I'll be pleased to do that. And so this section that I'm about to read takes place in Halifax, and it precedes the charge that is brought to against Alex Gould for the murder of Creighton's brother. Creighton's brother was, in fact, murdered in Montreal, and Creighton represented his brother at the inquiry. He was stabbed in the arm and eventually died. I transpose that, I fictionalize that event to Halifax in order to add to the plot and the situation here. So right now, Creighton is in Ottawa, he's in Montreal right now, and Alex Gould is helping out Creighton's older brother that was killed, Harry Montgomery. The Creightons were involved in the grocery business, and they are engaged in delivering groceries, not only around town, but also to supply the ships that were used in the Halifax Harbor. So I will begin. Two schooners are set to disembark the following morning should the fog begin to lift. Harry raises his lantern and peers intently at the numbers on the white signs along the wharf, counting as they go. Number 3 at last. The master said they would await our arrival at the ships, Harry tells Alex. I won't be long. His footfalls on the wharf become a distant muffle, and then he can be heard no more. Alex waits patiently in the wagon, though he can see nothing and hear nothing save the crashing surf, the groaning boards, and the jangle of bells in the masts as the anchored ships list and sway in the surf. A sudden, frantic cry in the night, a crash followed by a splash. Alex drops the reins, reaches behind his back, unsheathes his knife, and runs down the wharf with his knife in one hand, the lantern in the other. The crash of boards is heard as a dark figure rushes past him. Alex hesitates. He at last discerns two yellow eyes in the fog, two lanterns ahead. He hears the pounding of feet. Man overboard! Alex hears someone shout. He runs towards the voices. More lanterns and shouts all along the wharf. Alex reaches the thin halo of light cast by the lanterns. The ship captains are leaning over the wharf, swinging their lanterns where they heard the splash. Alex comes to a halt, still with a knife and a lantern in hand. One of the captains glances up at him. So it was you, Indian, he growls at Alex. You stabbed him and pushed Harry over. What? Alex says. No, I just arrived, I swear. I was in the wagon when I heard the splash. That's when I came running. The other captain joins them. Let me see the knife. Alex hands him the blade. Perfectly clean, he says. Easy enough to wipe it down, offers the first captain. Who are you then, and why are you here? My name is Alex Gould. I'm a friend of Harry's. I was helping him with deliveries tonight. And as to the killer, I have a pretty good idea as to who might have done this. You can save that for the police. Alex is taken away that night. In the fog and darkness, the police can find no trace of Harry, but when the fog lifts the next day and his body washes ashore, a throat slash across his severed neck is discovered.
Well, thank you very much, James. We've been speaking with James Ronson, author of Blood, Fire and Ice. And now we'll take a short break.